So friends, in the midst of COVID-19, our world's not the same. We know that, right? And it's not going to be the same, at least for some time. But we've just been embracing that idea here at Old Fort Church and in the message series that we're in called Not the Same to talk about the fact that we don't want to be the same. We want to experience the transformation of Jesus in our lives. And so we've been looking over these weeks at different ways that God wants to do that in us, and we're continuing that this morning. We've been using a lot of the writings from Paul for that because Paul talks a lot about transformation. And today, we're going to be specifically talking about your and my giftedness, our giftedness. Now, you know, there are a lot of people in this world who just seem to be extremely gifted, aren't there? A lot of really gifted people, I think you know what I mean, and some are just so natural in certain areas that it staggers us, it blows us away to see how they could do what they do in some of the areas that they've been gifted in. Michael Jordan's a great example of that in my book. Michael Jordan is just an amazing basketball player. When he played, he had such grace and execution on that basketball court that he is unmatched. Our family has Amazon Prime, and most of us know what Amazon Prime is, but that allows us to get shipping in 2 days for free, and it gives us this live streaming service of some movie and TV programs and stuff. And I recently came across a great discovery on Amazon Prime on their streaming service, and it's a program called NBA Hardwood Classics. Great show. NBA Hardwood Classics. It's pretty awesome. It has old basketball games going way back, some of them all the way back to black and white games that long ago. They have games from different playoff seasons, other games that had special meanings for purpose, just tons of games that you can watch. And when there's not any real sports happening on TV right now, it's all that much more fun to watch. And when I discovered NBA Hardwood Classics, the first game that I chose to watch was a Chicago Bulls game, a playoff game with Michael Jordan, and it was incredible. And then later, my son Eli, he found another game with Michael Jordan where Michael Jordan hit, at that point, his all-time high in points of 55 points in one game, with 20 of those points being just in the first quarter of the game. Jordan, though, he went on to score an all-time high in another game of 69 points in one game on March 28th, 1990, against guess who? Against guess who? The Cleveland Cavaliers, of course. And I know that there's a sore spot out there for some who would say that LeBron James, those LeBron James fans, kind of like our family life director, Matt, he would say LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan was. But I've watched enough film now on Michael Jordan to argue that with anyone. In the case of this game with the Cavs in 1990, and yes, I know he wasn't playing against James in that game, but Mark Price was there, pretty good basketball player. But in that game, Jordan scored 69 points, had 18 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. He hit 21 of 23 free throws. Get this, and of his 69 points, only 2 of them were 3-pointers. So he got 63 points without the 3-ball. That's amazing. And LeBron James, by the way, his high score is 61. I'm just saying. But seriously, playing basketball like Michael Jordan or LeBron James or like the new guy on the block, Zion Williamson, who only is a high score of 35 right now. But any of those guys lets you know that these guys have put hard work. But before that hard work, they've also been given a naturally God-given gift to play the game. You or I could work just as hard and never perform on the hardwood like these guys did, like these guys do. Some people are just naturally gifted, right? We can agree with that. And the thing is you can have someone who works their tail off to be at the top of their game in any area, and yet someone else who's naturally gifted in that same area may still excel past them by doing just half the work. Sometimes when we get around someone who's so gifted in a certain area, it kind of makes us just kind of to shrink. And we think some people just have it, and well, others like me, I guess that we don't. Look, if you don't already know, I want to reveal an incredible truth about you. The Bible says that if you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, then he's in you. He lives in you. What that means is the moment that a person invites Jesus into his or her life as their Savior, the forgiver of their sins, and as their Lord, the leader of their lives, then the very Holy Spirit of God comes to reside in your heart. And with the Holy Spirit in your heart comes two important things among many, but two important things. The first is what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit before. We did a whole message series on the fruit of the Spirit. These are attributes of God that rest in the heart of every believer in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to grow in each one of those attributes, each of the fruits, so that we're not the same, and so that we become the new nature that we are now in Jesus. But there's a second important thing that the Holy Spirit deposits into us, and it's what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. There's spiritual fruit, but then there's spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are different from spiritual fruit. With the fruit of the Spirit, every believer gets access to each of the nine parts of the fruit. But when it comes to spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit decides which gifts each believer receives, which gifts each believer gets. And here's the very, very cool thing. We all get at least one spiritual gift, usually more than one, but nobody has all the gifts. So that we all need to work together in this life with the gifts that you have and the gifts that I have and the gifts that somebody else has. We all come together as one body in those gifts. There are a whole bunch of spiritual gifts that the Bible identifies. And likely, there are others that we maybe can't directly see in the Bible, the spiritual gifts Spirit gives as the Spirit gives. Today, we're looking at the second thing that the Holy Spirit brings, spiritual gifts. And the Bible teaches that at the point that we, as believers, receive Jesus through the Holy Spirit places these in each of us, or more than one, often, of these distinct spiritual gifts. Now, some of you may be thinking, Mark, what are you saying? I'm saying, if you're in Christ, then friends, you're gifted. You are gifted. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, they've got nothing on you at all. You and I are gifted with carefully placed spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit. Now understand, these are different from natural talents, natural inborn talent. Actually, when we talk about Jordan and James and those guys, we're talking natural inborn talent with them. They were born with that. Spiritual gifts aren't given until you're reborn in Jesus. These are gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. He doesn't want us to misunderstand what spiritual gifts are and what they're about. Now, we'll drop down to verses 4-6. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Paul then goes on through verse 10 to list some of the spiritual gifts. Friends, these verses are telling us that the one same Holy Spirit gives different gifts to different Christians, to different believers, but they all come from that same source. The workings of the Holy Spirit are different in each of us, but the power source for all of us and our spiritual giftedness is God. There's another important detail in these verses. God's not given us these gifts simply for ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So we can help each other. It says that we've been given these very special spiritual gifts for the good of one another. At Old Fort Church, we've studied the scriptures to learn what God's purpose is for the church. And we found that the scripture identifies a fivefold purpose for the church, the Big C Church, the church in the world. We identify that fivefold purpose at Old Fort Church with an acronym, the acronym TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H. because we believe that the church needs to be centered on the truth of God and His Word. The acronym TRUTH stands for this. The first T is transforming. We've been talking about transformation over all the weeks in this series. The R of TRUTH is reaching. That's about reaching others for Jesus. The U of TRUTH is unrestraining. And this has to do with our attitude toward God. We want to be unrestrained in our attitude to God, particularly in how we worship God. Unrestrained in our worship to Him, no restraints holding us back to worship God freely. The next T of TRUTH is together. We're meant to walk together in the community of Christ, to do this life together. That's why the spiritual gifts are for us, to serve one another together. And the H of that is helping. God's called us to do ministry together by helping one another and others in this world through the ministry and through mission. Well, friends, listen, our giftedness fits right in the middle of all of this truth, all of this purpose of the church. Our gifts aren't meant for ourselves. They're for one another as we're transforming in discipleship, as we're reaching other people for Jesus, as we're worshiping unrestrained, and most particularly as we're doing life together and as we're helping one another. Our gifts are to be used through all of that. God's given us these spiritual gifts first to glorify Him, and then second, that we can share with others. And I don't know about you, but that thought, it really excites me. I'm excited to be doing life along with the Big C Church, with the Church Universal around the world, and in this regional church that God has called us to be a part of in Old Fort, Ohio, that reaches the region all around us. Now, we may not be together in church physically in this season right at the moment, and thankfully we're going to begin to come together again some beginning next Sunday, but we're always together by that same Holy Spirit that joins us together and has gifted each of us. So as we look at these gifts, we certainly want to be seeking how we can grow, how we can blossom in the gifts, and learn to how to put them into motion in our lives. Listen, I know that there may be some watching today who are actually thinking this silly notion, but you must be talking about somebody else. I'm not especially gifted in anything. You can't be talking about me. If I have a spiritual gift, then how come I don't know about it? And how do I find out what it is? First, let me say, I lead a class that's called The Journey. And in the class called The Journey, part of what we do is help to explore and discover what our spiritual gifts are. Now, it's probably going to be a little bit before I can offer The Journey again in person. We'll do it as soon as we can, or at some point in time. Maybe we'll end up doing it over Zoom or something like that, if that's what we need to do. But that's a class we do once or twice a year around here at Old Fort Church. However, there are some other tools. So that's one tool. The Journey class is a great tool to learn about spiritual gifts. A second tool is to start to study the spiritual gifts. Study them for yourselves as they're listed in Scripture, in the Bible. There are four major lists of spiritual gifts that you can find that are going to help you in your study. They're in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. I'm going to say those to you again. By the way, this is a note-taking message. You're going to want a journal, piece of paper, pen, something, because soon you're going to be writing some things down, so you might want to get that ready, get that available for you. But you can find these lists. I'll mention them again in a moment, but in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. There are also some shorter passages in Scripture that give us some other spiritual gifts, but those are the four major groupings. So you study those. That's a way to learn your spiritual gifts. A third way is this, and this is really the only foolproof way to know your spiritual gifts. It really is. You learn your spiritual gifts through trial and error. As you jump in headfirst into doing ministry, you'll begin to realize if you're especially gifted at hospitality or administration or teaching or whatever, as you engage in ministry, you begin to see your gifts revealed and learn how God's gifted you. You might jump into ministry in an area and you're like, oh, this isn't working at all. And it might not mean that you're not good. It's just that that's not the area you're gifted at. So you jump into an area over here and you begin to serve God in this area and you learn your gifts as you're serving in the areas where God blossoms and grows you. Here's a fourth option to learn about your spiritual gifts. It's to take a spiritual gift inventory, an assessment, a spiritual gift test of some kind. There are several of these kinds of assessments available. I particularly like the one by Kenneth Kinghorn that's titled Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts. That's the one that we use in the Journey class that I teach. I like that one. I just like the way that it tests, and it seems to be pretty accurate in helping people to understand their gifts. So it's a good one. You can also look up, there are several of these online now for free. You can take a spiritual gifts test assessment online for free. You can Google online spiritual gift test, and you're going to see several options. Now, I've not personally used any of these, so I can't give you a recommendation for anyone in particular, but my suggestion would be that if you do this, do a couple of them and compare the results to see how much they're the same, because I don't know who's produced what and necessarily which one's the best of those, but you can try some different spiritual gift assessments tests that you can find for free online. A fifth and final way, another good way to discover your spiritual gifts, is to ask other believers in Jesus who have worked beside you, who have served in ministry with you, who have been in life with you, who have observed you, and ask them, what spiritual gifts do you think that I have? Because they've been able to see in you often what you don't see in yourself, right? You see that in friends you have. You'll tell them, oh, you're so gifted in this. And times they'll say, what? What are you talking about? Because they don't even see it in themselves. But now they begin to see it because you just affirmed them and giftedness you see. So you can ask those that you know and trust and love who are believers, what spiritual gifts do you see in me? And often that can be a key to help you to discover your own spiritual gifts. Now, let's spend the rest of our time this morning trying to wrap ourselves around what the spiritual gifts are, which ones there are, and maybe get a better glimpse of how God's gifted us. I realize that there are some who've already gotten a pretty clear handle on the spiritual gifts that are in your life, and this is going to be maybe be a time of affirmation for you. But there are others who are watching today who this is an extremely new idea. Might be that it's the first time you've even heard about spiritual gifts. That's okay. It's not taught a lot in the church, unfortunately. But it's very much taught in the Bible. And so maybe this is your first time and you're going to be exploring this for the first time. We're going to help you with that as we dive into a list of some spiritual gifts. The Bible doesn't lock us into any tight restrictions as to the number of spiritual gifts or even the definitions. But as I said, there are four major groupings of spiritual gifts in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. The list of gifts that we're going to go through today, it's not exhaustive. In other words, it's not all of the spiritual gifts that there are. And these aren't the only ones, but these are some of the gifts that are clearly spoken about in Scripture. There are several sources that have compiled lists for definitions of these spiritual gifts. I have three or four of those sources. Today, we're drawing from a resource by Rick Warren and some of the definitions that's been put together in his material. Here's what we're going to do. This is going to be much more of a teaching time than a preaching time today. And as I'm going through this list on each of these, I'm going to give them pretty quickly. Again, if you haven't done it already, I encourage you to find a notebook, a piece of paper, a pen, something that you can use to write as we do this today. If you haven't done that, quickly grab something. Quickly grab something you can write on for notes. You can also find these notes on the notes section on the live stream page of our website. And I don't think that's working today to watch the video from there. But if you go to the live stream page on our website, there's a notes section you can click on, and it's going to list those for you there, the gifts that are there. You can find that. You scroll through the music, and you go down to the notes section. You can find these there. But I just encourage you to write them down as we go through. As I share about these and you write them down, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to the brief descriptions, and then I want you to write next to these each of these things, one of these three things. If you think, as I'm describing it, that this is a spiritual gift that you might have, I want you to write next to that gift the word yes. If you think you have it, write the word yes. As I'm describing it, if you're saying, there is no way that I think that's a spiritual gift that I think I have, I want you to write the word no. Or if I'm, as I'm describing it, you just feel kind of unsure. I'm not sure. Could be. Maybe. I want you to write the word maybe next to that spiritual gift. So you're going to list the ones that I give you. They're going to be on the screen too as we go in blocks. And you can write it down, then write yes, no, or maybe as to whether you think it might be a spiritual gift that you have. I encourage you as you engage in ministry then after kind of going through this that you start to apply the gifts that you think that you might have and let the Holy Spirit help grow those in you. You can then also follow with one of the online spiritual gift tests if you want to do that as well to help you kind of secure what your gifts might be. Remember, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. No Christian has all of the spiritual gifts, and there's not one spiritual gift that every Christian has. If after I go through this list, you're still thinking, I just don't know if I think I have any gifts at all, it doesn't mean that you're the only one that the Holy Spirit skipped over. For some reason, I didn't give him or her a spiritual gift. That's just not the case. It simply means that you've not uncovered your gift yet. But if you seek the Holy Spirit's lead in time, you will. And also remember, spiritual gifts come at the time you invite Jesus into your life. So if you've never done that, if you've not received Jesus into your life, then you've not received these gifts yet. You may still have some natural born talent in some of the areas that we're talking about, but that's not the same thing as the spiritual gifts that we receive by embracing Jesus. So again, indicate yes if you believe this is a gift you have, no if not, and maybe if you're not sure. Let's begin through some categories and through some quick descriptions of spiritual gifts. So the first category is gifts that communicate God's word. These are some gifts that communicate God's word. And the first of those, big surprise, preaching. Preaching is a spiritual gift. Also, it's called prophecy sometimes. Preaching, prophecy. Now listen, this is the ability to publicly communicate God's word in an inspired way that convinces unbelievers and comforts and encourages, convicts and teaches believers. So it inspires unbelievers and communicates God's words to unbelievers, and it then convicts and inspires, comforts, and encourages believers. It's not simply being a motivational speaker. It's the ability to persuasively declare God's word and God's will. Preaching does three things. It builds up, it fires up, and it holds up. It builds up, it fires up, and it holds up. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says it's for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Some of you may have this gift, you've just not experienced it yet. You may feel scared to death to even consider it because it might mean talking in front of people, right? And that's pretty scary. But listen, God equips us. If he equips us in any gift that he gives us. So don't be afraid of any gift that you might discover that you have. And you can't tell me that in a congregation of a couple hundred people that God's only gifted one or two people to preach. You see, my guess is that we could have a team of preachers if they have that gift and they're willing to grow in the Holy Spirit in that gifted area. Here's a second gift under this category. It's evangelism. Evangelism. This is the ability to communicate the good news of Jesus to unbelievers in a positive and non-threatening way. People with this gift are often able just to sense opportunities to share Jesus and to lead people to respond with faith. These people are very sensitive to how unchurched people and not yet Christians feel. One thing to be clear on with evangelism is that the Bible commands that every Christian is supposed to share Jesus. not just the gifted in this area, but all of us. It's in the Great Commission that Jesus gives to the church. However, some Christians are actually like they're supernaturally gifted by the Holy Spirit to do this. They're always game on in this area. They have a knack for turning conversations to the spiritual side. They love people and are passionate about them knowing Jesus. Another gift in this communicate God's word area is missions. People with this gift have the ability to adapt to a different culture in order to reach unbelievers and help believers from that culture. The thing is that in our day, you don't have to go overseas to exercise this gift. Much of the world has come to America. You don't have to become a missionary. You don't become a missionary by crossing the sea. You become a missionary by seeing the cross all around you, in every heart, every culture, every race, and every creed. A good example of this is Jordan and Jessica Kerwin, who are missionaries who we support as our church. We support them in their mission. They were doing missions in China, but with a strange change of events, they were denied their visas and they had to leave a year or so ago, so they can't be in China at this time. And so now they're continuing to reach Chinese people through international missions on campus, the campus of the University of Toledo, some other college universities. They're reaching people from China right here in Ohio, who are now going back to China with Jesus, and with the COVID-19 crisis that's going on, some of those people have gone back to China. They've continued doing Zoom meetings, discipling them, who now are in China, who are learning about Jesus and can impact other people in China for Jesus, and they live in Toledo, Ohio. Apostleship is the next of these gifts. People with this gift have the passion and the ability to start new churches and ministries and to oversee their deployment. Today, these people would often be called church planters. Church planters. They're kind of like God's entrepreneurs. These people have the ability to go out and just start a body of Christ from scratch. They're willing to take risks and do new things. I have a friend in Arizona with this gift, planted a church about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's 400 or 500 people already. He's got the gift of apostleship, starting planting churches. Now let's move to a different category of gifts. This category is gifts that educate God's people, that educate God's people. And the first in this category is teaching. People with this gift have the ability to educate God's people by clearly explaining and applying the Bible in a way that causes them to learn. They have the ability to equip and to train other believers in ministry. A lot of life group leaders, small group leaders, study leaders have this gift of teaching. Some pastors also, maybe they're more gifted at teaching than they are at preaching. God gifts pastors differently. Another gift for educating God's people is encouragement, and it's also called exhortation. And some scripture passages call it exhortation. This is, people with this gift have the ability to motivate God's people to apply and to act on biblical principles, especially when they're discouraged or they're wavering in their faith. They have the ability to bring out the best in others, to challenge them to develop their potential. These people are typically very positive people who are practical. They're able to make good suggestions. People with this gift also make good teachers. They make good life group leaders, small group leaders. They also make good counselors. There are a lot of encouragers in our church. Another gift in this area is wisdom. People with this gift have the ability to understand God's perspective on life situations and to share those insights in a simple, understandable way. This is not the same as earthly wisdom. People with this cunning kind of thoughts in life and street smarts, we're not talking about that. Instead, this is a wisdom from heaven, a God-given, truly inspired by the Holy Spirit wisdom that comes from heaven on not just earthly things, but heavenly and biblical things. People with this gift have the ability to explain what to do and how to do it. If people say they're insightful, or if people are often coming to you for advice, say you're insightful or come to you for advice, there's a good chance that maybe this is a spiritual gift that you have. People with this gift know how to be patient. They understand the ways of God. They're good mediators in a conflict because they can explain what's really going on. They can hear both sides of the argument, and they can speak right into the middle of it to say, this is what's really happening. It's not what you think or what you think. Here's the wisdom of what's happening in your lives. Beautiful gift. Here's another gift in this area. It's discernment. People with this gift have a God-given ability to distinguish right from wrong, truth from error, and to give an immediate evaluation based on God's word. If you have this gift, it's going to be greatly developed as you get to know the Bible more and more and more, because this gift is based on God's word, so you need to know God's word in your heart. This gift helps protect the church from going off into extremes. It's greatly needed in the church today as the world's offering so many false ideas of truth. People who have and develop this gift are given by the Holy Spirit a perspective into people's lives. And often they can speak right into your life in areas and things of your life, things you're going through, without ever being told that you're going through those areas. God shares that with them. It's a beautiful gift that can speak into the life, into people, and give God's word for you in your life. Another gift in this area of educating God's people is knowledge. And people with this gift have the ability to discover, collect, analyze, and organize information that's vital to individual believers or the entire church family. These people have the ability to comprehend large amounts of information and then provide it when needed for effective decision making. These people are great researchers. Another aspect that the Bible talks about with the gift of knowledge is this. God's gifted some people with Holy Spirit-given words of knowledge into people's lives and into the life of the church. Another beautiful gift. Listen, wisdom, discernment, and knowledge are much needed spiritual gifts in the church today. The church needs truth from God and His Word, and people with these appropriately understanding and practicing these gifts help to guard the integrity of God's Word. Let's go to another area. The next area of gifts is gifts that demonstrate God's love. Gifts that demonstrate God's love, and the first of these is service. People with this gift have the ability to recognize unmet needs in the church family and just to take the initiative to provide practical assistance quickly, cheerfully, without a need for recognition. You don't have to tell these people with the gift of service when help's needed. They're going to jump on it. They're going to see it and they're just going to do it. God's given them the gift to recognize the need and to help with the need. That's another gift that I see exhibited a lot around here. There are people who take down chairs and tables and set them up and help people in need and do all these other things without anybody even knowing that they're doing it. And they're using their spiritual gift of serving. Another gift that demonstrates God's love is mercy. People with the gift of mercy have the ability to detect hurt and empathize with those who are suffering in the church family. They have the ability to provide compassionate and cheerful support to those experiencing distress, crisis, or pain. These people live the example of the Good Samaritan, who picked a guy up off the road, tended his needs, got him a room, and then paid for all of it. That's kind of that gift that some people have of mercy. Here's another gift of demonstrating God's love. It's hospitality. And people with this gift make you feel immediately comfortable when you're around them. You can tell when somebody's got the gift of hospitality. You can have somebody come up to you in an environment and say good morning to you and shake your hand, and you feel like you've not had any connection with them at all. But somebody with the gift of hospitality, they come up to you and greet you, and you're welcomed. You know you're with these people when you're with them. People with this gift make you feel comfortable around them. These people have a way of putting you at ease. They know how to bring out the best in people. They have a great concern for others' comfort and for including others. If you have this spiritual gift, you should talk to Carol Pence. She coordinates our welcome and hospitality ministry, and she can give you a great avenue for using this spiritual gift that you have. Here's another gift that demonstrates God's love. It's pastoring. Also called shepherding, pastoring or shepherding. And people with this gift have the ability to care for spiritual needs of a group of believers and to equip them for ministry. The word pastor is a Greek word that literally means to lead and feed. To lead and feed, it means to care for. Understand that having the gift of pastoring doesn't mean that you have to go become an ordained minister. You have to go pastor a church somewhere. That's not necessarily what we're talking about here. We're talking about finding enjoyment and caring for people. You'd be great at caring for a life group of some kind. There are a lot of people I've seen in our church that have this group of shepherding over others spiritually, pastoring over them. Another gift that's a love gift is giving. God gives some people the ability to earn and manage money so that it can be given to support ministries and others. People with this gift have the ability to generously contribute material resources and or money so that the body may grow and be strengthened. They never have to be told that giving is a part of the Christian life. It's automatic for them. They're always giving it away. That's just what they do. God's given some people the ability to make large amounts of money so that they can utilize this spiritual gift that he's given them with their finances and help build the kingdom and do kingdom work. Some people God gifts just for that, to do that with their finances and what they have. Now let's go into another area of spiritual gifts, gifts that celebrate God's presence. Now, for this one, I'm going to combine all three of these into one this morning. Music, arts, and crafts. Music, arts, and crafts. Scripture very clearly says that music is a spiritual gift. There are lots of people who can play instruments, who can sing songs. They can do it really, really well. But God gives some. God gives some the gift to bring others into his presence through their musical expression. You've experienced that before, I bet. It is a beautiful thing. They lead the church family in worship. It's obvious that they have this gift. I've got to tell you that Mike and the others that lead our worship on Sunday mornings, they lead me into God's presence every single week. Every single week. Some people don't realize that arts and crafts is a spiritual gift. But it is. It's spoken about in Exodus chapter 31, verses 3 through 11. There are some people who are gifted to work with their hands. Some have the ability to build, to maintain, to beautify space and places for worship and God's glory. Some glorify Christ through drama and through paintings and through poetry. There are some Christian artists, architects out there who God uses to design incredible places of worship. Those are spiritual gifts as well. Now let's lead to gifts that are prayer-related gifts. Prayer-related gifts. The first of those is intercession. Intercession. God gives some the ability to pray for the needs of others in the church family over extended periods of time on a regular basis. They have the ability to persist in prayer and not get discouraged until an answer arrives. This isn't just praying. Okay? It's not just praying. These are people who keep praying and praying and praying and praying until an answer shows up. We have some intercessory prayers in our church, faithful prayers who don't give up on God or the needs that they're praying for. Another praying gift, related gift, is healing. People with the gift of healing have the ability to pray in faith specifically for people who need physical, emotional, spiritual healing and to see God answer. They have the ability to sense when God's prompting them and to pray this kind of a prayer. Not everybody's going to be healed every time we pray, but these people have the ability to pray to pray for people intently and without getting discouraged over their needs, because they understand that God's sovereign and he's going to bring healing as he and when he sees and knows is best. Another prayer gift is miracles. This is also a prayer gift. People with this gift have the gift to pray in faith specifically for God's supernatural intervention into seemingly impossible situations and to see God answer. They have the ability and the sense that when God's prompting them to pray that kind of a prayer. Another prayer gift is praying with the Spirit. This is also called tongues or the interpretation of tongues. Praying with the Spirit. It makes some people uncomfortable. Don't be uncomfortable. God gives some people a gift to pray to him in a language of the Holy Spirit that only God understands and others who God gives the gift to interpret can understand. This is a very personal gift that's meant to be used in places where it's understood and it doesn't bring confusion. Now let's go to gifts that support ministry, another category here. And the first in this category is this, it's leadership. People with the gift of leadership have the ability to clarify and communicate the purpose and direction, the vision of a ministry in a way that attracts others to get involved. They're able to motivate others by example, working together and accomplishing a ministry goal. The test to leadership is really simple. Is anybody following you? Is anybody following you? If you've got this gift, people are naturally going to gravitate to you. They're going to follow you naturally. Another support ministry gift is administration, also called organization. And I know that we have some of these people in our church. People with this gift have the ability to recognize the gifts of others and to recruit them into ministry. They have the ability to organize and manage people, resources, and time for effective ministry. They can coordinate the details and execute the plans of leadership. This is a gift of management. And the last gift we're going to look at today that fits under this support ministry area is the gift of faith. People with the gift of faith have the ability to trust God for what can't be seen and to act on God's promises regardless of the circumstances, what circumstances indicate. They're willing to take risks and to risk failure in pursuit of God-given vision, expecting God to handle the obstacles. These people, they don't know how to give up. They just don't know how to give up. They keep on keeping on. Faith is a helpful gift to have in today's economy and in today's world, particularly with things like COVID-19 going around. These people have faith to know that God's got this. God's got this, even if the world thinks that God doesn't. Even if there are people that say that God's not handling it, God is. And people with faith know this. They know that God's at work. Friends, listen, we've covered a list, get this, of spiritual gifts very quickly of 23. 23 gifts in this message very quickly that could probably all be a message by themselves because we could do much more on them, but maybe we'll do that another time. The important thing today is that we recognize as Christians that we're gifted. We are gifted, and God gives us the charge to explore and to develop the gifts that he gives us so that we can glorify him and we can share them with others and so that we'll not be the same, so that we're being transformed in Christ into the new gifted areas that he's given us. The thing is, there's not one gift that's more important than any other. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12:12. He says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So he's speaking about the church. All of us growing in our spiritual gifts makes one healthy body. With each of us doing our part, no one more important, no one less important. Let me end this message with this vision. With this vision, can you only imagine what the church, Big C Church Universal, and what Old Fort Church here in our region would look like? if every believer were discovering their giftedness, discovering their spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them, and living into those gifts, with each person living into the beauty of who God created them to be as brothers and sisters in Christ. Can you only imagine? We'd see the church come alive like never before. We'd see ministry in ways that we've never experienced. We'd see the church actually functioning as a living body with the hand doing its job and the feet doing their job and the heart doing its job and the mind, the brain doing its job, and the church would be healthier and healthier and healthier and being a place to grow in God's purpose and a place for a purpose of God's place for us. And friends, we would not be the same. We would not be the same. Let's pray together. God, you have given us your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to reside and live in us so that we can become your character in the fruit of the Spirit, and so that we can become your hands and feet, your body in the gifts of the Spirit. We cannot ignore this. We cannot ignore what your word tells us about the work of the Spirit and that we're supposed to engage in. So God, my prayer is all across the region where people are watching today and the few that are in this room and the many that will join us next week, my prayer is that we discover the spiritual gifts you've given us, that we invest into ministry for you and others, and that they blossom and grow and grow and grow until the life of the church explodes and a healthy body that's reaching others for Jesus. That's your desire, God, because it's in your word. And that's my desire because, God, I want to desire what you desire. I envision it. I see it. I pray for it. Holy Spirit, come on your people. Aliven us in how you've gifted us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Oh, what a great, great song. Great way to end our time today. And a breakthrough is coming. And I'm just seeing that on so many levels this morning, this breakthrough of the Holy Spirit being an open door to us as we grow in our spiritual gifts, but also God's breakthrough into our world and what's happening with the whole coronavirus thing. God's doing something here. This isn't just about a virus. God is using it, and he's opening our hearts, and he's breaking through, and we need to be ready for that. We need to be receiving what God is bringing. I'm just excited. I'm really excited. I'm excited that next week some of us are going to be coming back together in person. It's going to look a little different at first, but at least we're going to have that process beginning. So remember that for next week, or check us on the live stream again if that's what's more comfortable for you. But God is at work, and so we praise him. God bless you. We'll see you next week. God's good. He's working all the time.